I mentioned lead scoring. I was guilty back in 2013. I started lead scoring and I sat down with my point of view and my intuition and created lead score. Because at that time we didn't have the tools and had a lot of experience with kind of how intuition can be good, but data science can be better.
This is Revenue Makers, the podcast by Sixth Sense, investigating successful revenue strategies that pushed companies ahead.
So Saima, can you think of anything where you've seen a 20-to-1 ROI on any investment, anything that you've done recently or ever, really?
I'll be honest, I can't think of too many.
Oh, well, we've got something today. We have Jack Spire, who is the Director of Marketing Operations at Iron Mountain, talking about their transition to account-based marketing and some pretty crazy returns that they've seen.
Yeah, over 20x. And what I love about Jack is I met Jack before he was a customer, almost 3 years ago, and he's an ops person. He leads with the data, he identified a problem, he ran some regressions in Excel and figured out that the MQL was indeed dead and there had to be a better way. And so he talks about his journey of not just making that decision, but getting alignment and then building up an incredibly successful program that generated over 20x ROI.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool because we haven't dug in on the ops side as much, right, in our conversations talking about the transition to ABM. So we kind of really get into the nitty-gritty of, you know, what it takes. And he has a really great conversation about alignment and how he was able to help really drive sales and marketing alignment and adoption at a pretty strong rate. So really good stuff. Let's dive into it.
Let's do it. Hey, Jack. Good to have you on. You're one of the first folks I met when I joined Sixth Sense. You were about to embark on this whole journey of moving from traditional MQL-based marketing to an ABM program. And what I loved about our initial conversations was you're obviously an ops leader and you have an ops focus in the role. So just throw in all of your learnings as related to ops into this whole episode. But I'd love to start right at the beginning and back to the why you felt at Iron Mountain that you really needed to change the way things were happening.
Yeah, thank you, Simon. I started there about almost 3 years ago. And when I got there, it was very traditional. There was very heavy MQL focus. And there was a lot of good intuition. A lot of marketers have great intuition, but data will always trump intuition. And so when I came there, one of the things we did is we were very MQL focused. And I quickly got us away from that and shifted to what I would consider impact metrics. So we shifted from measuring MQLs. I mean, we measured pipeline and bookings, but that really became, for me, the only true metrics. And everything else is activity driving that, but that's your end goal. You know, your North Star really is bookings. And so we shifted a lot of the measurements on that. It was interesting when I got there too, speaking of intuition, they actually looked at lead scoring and it was people's opinions. So it was a lot of very smart people saying, I think a webinar is worth 20 points. I think an email opens for 5 points. And we immediately looked at that from a data lens and an ops lens and looked at every type of activity and how correlated it was with opening an opportunity. So even before I heard of Sixth Sense, we were really shifting from traditional marketing to much more data-driven focus. And so when we started talking to Sixth Sense, that was a natural next step.
When you talked about looking at the activities and how they correlated to the opening of an opportunity, like I would presumably say without some form of technology or something, how did you actually go about doing that mapping process?
Yeah, at that point, we didn't have a dedicated BI tool. So we literally did it in Excel using some regression. So we looked at it and said, overall, there was, I think, a 19% change from an MQL to an opportunity. And then we looked at first touch to say if they registered for a webinar versus attended, because we all register and then you get overbooked and you don't attend, right? So we did different scores for that, different scores from lead source, got points for job title and job function and job level. So we really looked at all the known variables of leads and said, how do those correlate with converting to an opportunity? We created an index where the average was 100%. And anything over 120 got additional points. If it was below 80, it got less points. So we worked in Excel, but we did a lot of data science to say, how important is each type of activity relating to opening an opportunity?
I mean, I love that you took a data-driven approach. And oftentimes that's what leads the way in terms of, okay, clearly this isn't working. We need to do something else. So it's not a spoiler. You ended up choosing Sixth Sense as your tool of choice. And then begins the work, right? Because a tool is one thing, but it really is about the process and the program you put around it. And so talk to us a little bit about the rollout and how you structured that.
Sure. You know, we talk about account-based marketing, but if you don't have account-based selling partnering with it, you're only halfway there. So we started talking to Sixth Sense about 2 years ago, I think, about this time, and did a lot of research. Part of that was just simply, when I look at vendors, I look at the magic quadrant. And if you're not in the upper right, I stop talking to you. So that was a quick pass. That narrowed it down to three, and you guys were the leaders, as well as kind of the approach fit with what we were looking for. So we implemented that in Q4, started in Q1. We started immediately training sales and marketing. We got all the demand folks. We had to do it by region. We had a bit of a slow rollout with the demand, but North America took it fairly quick after about a quarter and a half, really started using it. You know, with any new tool, you get some early adopters. So we got some folks in North America specifically in inside sales and the smaller SMB focus. That works great because those deals are fast and they could see results quickly. When you start with enterprise, it may be working, but you can't necessarily demonstrate that for 6 to 9 months. So we went with the inside sales that a lot for us, 75-80% of those deals close within a month, a lot of them maybe within a week. So we're very quickly able to show results. A lot of that came from the demand and field teams meeting with their sales counterparts. And again, in inside sales, it's a much more direct relationship. It's 100% marketing fed. So they have a really strong relationship. So that was our initial success. Over time, we have over 500 campaigns in Sixth Sense now. And over time, they got the demand, the display cost down by 53%. So we didn't actually save money. We simply doubled our reach online. And this led to a lot more companies touched, reached, and increased engagement, driving into sales. So that was one of the big wins. You know, with marketing, it's never really cost savings per se, because you don't give the money back. It just becomes more effectiveness with your costs and your spend. From there, we started working with sales. Sales was a bit more of a challenge because they're heavy tool focused, and we had, this was one of many tools. So it took a while. We really had great initial adoption with inside sales because it was fast. We didn't really get full sales adoption until we got both sales leadership and marketing leadership, you know, at the VP and C level involved and pushing that. And that's what really kind of turned the tide for sales.
I was just going to ask you, as you were talking about getting folks on board to the VP and C level, but when you came in first and said, okay, this MQL measurement is just not going to work, it's not providing us the real data, did you get a lot of pushback even at that point? Or it sounds like you were just hit the ground running and were able to proof a lot of things out, but was there resistance even to that?
I got there within a month. I said this, and I was frankly shocked at the time that they just said, okay, that I didn't really have to kind of demonstrate it. I think, you know, and a lot of times they were aware of it. That was the year at Forrester where the theme was the MQL is dead. So that certainly helped. But yeah, I did multiple change, and I think they were really hungry for it. I was their first ops leader at the director level. And so I came and we made that shift. I mentioned lead scoring. I was guilty back in 2013. I started lead scoring and I sat down with my point of view and my intuition and created lead scoring. Because at that time we didn't have the tools. And so I was had a lot of experience with kind of how intuition can be good, but data science can be better. So yeah, we switched the MQL driver. We changed those scores. We did have better adoption with MQLs based on that. But yeah, we got fairly quick adoption with the company. Because I think when they hired me, they were ready for a change. You know, you bring in a new leader, you're expecting things to change, obviously. So it was fairly quick on that side.
That's great. You mentioned that the alignment at the top was really what helped drive adoption and the success of the program. What would you say to marketers listening who might not have that alignment? How should they approach a program like this? Because I think, to your point, right, like how many years ago? The theme of Forrester was the MQL is dead. Like everyone knows that they need to eventually make a change to ABM. It's just hard rallying the entire go-to-market org around it. And so if marketing is looking to dip their toes in, or if they don't have sales on board, what advice would you give them?
Well, marketing and sales usually do work independently. Being in marketing, I was able to get marketing adoption much faster. And so for that, we didn't have to have a full-on shift. It was just a slow shift of, hey, we're going to start running some campaigns in here. You know, we quickly realized we could get better ad buy costs under Sixth Sense umbrella than through an agency. One, there was better cost overall, and we didn't have the 15% agency markup. So they started shifting. We started seeing success. For the sales side, if you're already involved, yeah, you need to get your marketing leadership to, frankly, you know, at the director below, you're not going to get in front of the C-suite or even, you know, a lot of times sales VPs. So you need to get your marketing leadership aligned and build that out. I would use case studies. You know, there's a lot on SixthSense.com and RevCity, and use some case studies to how it's going to work and how you show that to them. I use the analogy of it's baseball. If marketing's throwing the ball, but sales isn't catching, you're only going to half the benefit. So we got a lot of great, we got much better results, lower cost per lead, more MQLs. But for a while, sales was ignoring it. So they were still selling, but they weren't necessarily saying, these are the hottest accounts that they're engaging our content. So while they were doing it, we got good results. We actually got over 20-to-1 ROI. Well, we just now could potentially be double it. That if sales really is going in every morning and saying, what are my hot new accounts? What's open today? Who's done what this week? Even looking at the recommendations, says, call this person, they hit this web page. So we're starting to get that now. And that really is when it really takes off, when the sales catches the accounts that marketing's heating up.
You just said 20x ROI, Jack. And I feel like we need to pause on that for a second. 20x ROI with the tool. And it seems like it was really a shift from activity-based measurement to impact-based measurement. Talk to us about how overall just marketing performance measurement changed at Iron Mountain.
Yeah, so it's interesting because the benefit of Sixth Sense is you have a massive database of people that are anonymous to us. The accounts, when I measured it, it was literally about 100-to-1 of people in your larger database compared to in our CRM. So the benefit is over 90% of web visits are anonymous. Some say up to 97% anonymous. Keyword searches. If you just think in your own life, you're not filling out forms. You're searching things. You're hitting websites. You're not identifying. So Sixth Sense is able to tell us the accounts that are researching. So we can really see what was invisible to us. Most of it was invisible to us. The challenge there is, though, it's still invisible to us. So I can't necessarily replicate in my sales force the intent and engagement that Sixth Sense provides. So this is where we've had a challenge to show that they have to believe it. And so partly initially it was, well, what do you show in Salesforce? And it was not the same. And so part of that was really making sure that all the campaigns at Sixth Sense are replicated in our marketing automation and our Salesforce so we can register that, but also getting them to understand that 90%+ of all content consumption is anonymous. And the benefit of Sixth Sense is that you're going to see and know which accounts are engaging. The challenge for leadership, though, is believing that because, you know, traditionally they want to see it. They want to see the campaigns in Salesforce. And I think that's the challenge of marketing overall. There's no take it as a leap of faith. It's like you've got to prove your ROI everywhere. So we were able to do that with the tool, but it was still took a while to get leadership to understand how much of the anonymous activity is driving pipeline and bookings.
So in terms of actually showing that impact, you know, again, getting leadership to see it, what was most effective in terms of sharing that and getting that data in front of them to really to highlight and say, look, here's what's happening. And this is what's ultimately resulting in this 20-to-1 ROI even higher. Like, what was the most successful way you were able to do that?
So a monthly report of Sixth Sense at a glance. And so I've got multiple categories. A lot of that was showing the pipeline and bookings, the number of accounts engaged and increased engagement. We looked at that really, we didn't count increased engagement on open opportunities, just on new accounts, because, you know, you always get the sales pushback. Well, we were doing that anyways. We were going to win that anyways, right? So we didn't even try to go down that road where credibility is a challenge. So we were able to monthly show how many accounts we engaged with, how many increased engagement, how much new pipeline, how much new bookings, and show that cumulatively over time. And that's how we got to the 19-20 times ROI. And really showing it over, like with anything. You know, when you're reporting results, it's weekly or monthly, and it never ends.
You mentioned some of your best success with the sales side, particularly, was with your demand teams aligning with your inside sales team. Why was that so impactful?
Well, it's a much tighter relationship because 100% of their opportunities come marketing driven. We have an inbound and an outbound inside sales, but for the inbound, it was literally just taking calls and emails and leads and following up. So that's a very tight relationship to begin with. We also have faster speed to close. So over 80% of those opportunities open and close in a month, quite a bit of them within a week, so they can see the results quickly. We were able to show that. And because those are marketing driven, we could show them the Sixth Sense campaign. So they're able to actually see that when they're looking up leads and accounts in Salesforce, they could actually see what they're looking at. So that helped it a lot, just direct aspect of that. And frankly, inside sales in many cases is more younger, more junior salespeople. Sometimes it's a path to becoming an enterprise rep. So without many, many years experience, they're more open to doing and changing things. They don't have 10 years of success to look back and say, I'm doing fine as it is. So we got a lot faster change with those folks.
Iron Mountains is pretty varied in terms of products, services. There's a lot of different service lines, a lot of things going on. Did you, during the implementation or even now, did you go through and sort of touch every part of the business, or is it sort of a continuing process of like how to touch all these different motions through the ABM program?
We have six different business units per se. Three main ones are in our core Salesforce. Like a lot of people, we have, I think, four different Salesforce. So we put Sixth Sense on the core one, which is the bulk of our business. So records management is what we're known. That's boxes and warehouse and shredding paper. Then we now have a digital division that has SaaS products and some AI products. And then asset lifecycle management, which is managing not only hardware, but software and data. So we've been in records management for 70 years, and we have 95% of Fortune 1000. But the challenge is when we want to sell those people different products and different business unit products, it's different people at our customers. It's the people who are managing paper are not managing SaaS products, are not managing data and hardware. So a lot of the challenge was getting different people at our customers. And that's where Sixth Sense helped. Because we have a model for each of the business units, we could see not only where they were looking at those business units, but the specific employees at our customers who were looking. So that really aided us in the cross-sell, even if those people, the challenge for demand, most of those people were not in our marketing automation or Salesforce. And so we were going out trying to find new people. With Sixth Sense, we could find the people that were looking at our content that weren't raising their hands to identify, but were still looking. And then that lets sales know who to reach out to, even if they had to. And so some of those folks, they would buy the leads one by one. So at the moment, they're using Zoom Info to get those leads. I know we can also get them from Sixth Sense. So in many cases, it would identify the key stakeholders for different business units and then allow us to go chase those individuals that would have been anonymous otherwise.
Very cool. Jack, you're like one of those people now who, you're number one, you're an ops leader who has taken an ABM program with driven it to great success, over 20x ROI. You have helped deliver net new pipeline, cross-sell, upsell pipeline. I mean, it's pretty impressive. What learnings would you have? Meaning, if you had to do it all over again, is there anything you would do differently? Is there anything you would change?
Sure. Let me start with one thing. The 20x ROI includes the overall platform and solution cost. On the actual display campaigns, it's 60 and 70x ROI. Right. But to me, it never felt fair not to include the full cost. So yeah, on the direct spend, it was through the roof. I don't like reporting on things because people don't believe it, frankly. So we didn't actually highlight that, but internally on the field folks, they use that. As far as for other folks, whether you've already implemented or you're looking at it, the traditional alignment, getting leaders involved early, getting them bought in before you start, getting sales aligned, even if it's say, you know, hey, we're just going to use this one team and prove it out. But getting that ahead of time, we implemented, and then it took a bit of time to get both demand and the sales folks adopting. So my main advice was, if you haven't implemented yet, spend your time there, get that buy-in, get that adoption quick, even if it's small, cherry-pick teams, because then you've got actual results to show and expand out. So the classic early adopter. If you're already in and you're in the marketing side, I think this is often brought in through marketing, go to your leaders, lay out everything that's working, lay out how it's being used, and a specific roadmap of what you need from both demand and sales teams.
So, Jack, we're going to deviate a little bit here, but we have a question that we ask all of our guests and has absolutely nothing to do with ABM, but it's more about you. And we always like to ask, what is the most ridiculous thing that anyone has asked you to do in your career? It could be something good or bad. We've gotten people smuggling electronics to various countries. We've gotten all sorts of different things that have been, we had one CMO that worked with NASA. It was ridiculous in a very positive way. So what do you got? Most ridiculous thing you can think of that you've ever been asked to do.
Wow. I wish I had notice of this. I don't have anything crazy like that. I mean, I will say not totally ridiculous, but it's commonly unspoken from CMOs and find a way to make us look good, even if you have to fudge the numbers. And I've never heard of that directly, but I feel like most CMOs I've worked for are like, just make me look good. And so I'm never willing to incorrectly report the numbers, but yeah, you end up cherry picking what you report on. That's probably not a great answer.
I was once asked to change the color of a number on a slide from red to green. So I'm with you, Jack. The number was red. It was asked to change it to green. I ended up compromising and leaving it black.
So I had something similar very early in my career. And a boss who, same kind of thing, would look at your presentations. So he gave me feedback word for word. I put that in the deck, brought it back to him, and he corrected it. He didn't like. And I said, well, these are your words, right? And just, you get some people who just cannot help but giving editing advice, even when it's their own phrasing. So he became a really good friend. Yeah, it was very funny that whatever I would bring him, he would need to change, even if it was perfect.
That, I think, is all qualified. So appreciate it. And then we sort of just threw that right out of left field for you. So this is great. Really, again, we haven't had that real deep ops conversation about ABM. So really, really appreciate the deep dive into, I think, some really great actionable insights for folks out there. So thanks so much for hopping on with us today.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
You've been listening to Revenue Makers.
Do you have a revenue project you were asked to execute that had wild success? Share your story with us at sixthsense.com/revenue, and we might just ask you to come on the show. And if you don't want to miss the next episode, be sure to follow along on your favorite podcast app.